Parliament is meeting in the form of a committee. That's generally how Parliament operates. This is among 34 committees, am I right? 36 committees. This being one of those. Today we are meeting only to say two items on the agenda. One that deals with a report from Lepelle, North Water Board. Another one is a report on Mandola Water Board. This is a new practice, if I am not mistaken. It has been established for quite some time as these respective water boards, and you know more than I do as to whether indeed this is a new practice. Shall guide us. We are new. Let me speak for myself. I am new. We have not been here before in this committee. None of us have been. Maratoro? I'm talking about us as a committee. We are not also going to take a lot of time. We shall request the respective water boards. Without making it very long, we must be the ones that take longer. It is practice within government departments. When they come to Parliament, they shall seek to confuse members of Parliament with all sorts of information, relevant and irrelevant. We're looking for relevant information. We're looking for relevant briefing, so to speak. We have received the reports. We have prepared, I trust I speak on behalf of all of us. But before we start, we have a few apologies. Typically, our committee has 11 members. The minister and the deputy minister come on invitation. The director general is an accounting officer. We do have, however, apologies about the minister, deputy minister, the GG, Ngostel Kodu. These are all apologies that have been received in writing. The practice here, I see Madia is writing a few on by pen in front of me, or next to me. The practice in our committee here is that any apology has to be in writing. That shall give a sense of organization on our part. So that if you like, there is that paper trail. An apology by word of mouth that usually is not accepted. And there is no difference in this regard, so far as this committee is concerned. Apology to those that have given those apologies of theirs by word of mouth, apology to them. Unless you are having a sick situation, unless there is an emergency situation, but for us, who shall know that they are not going to be here, and only by word of mouth, it reflects something on them. I'm not doing anything unusual. It is just a normal practice that we better be finding ourselves in. Okay, without ado, we shall then take that whole process forward. As indicated, if I see new faces, If you can also, perhaps just do a little introduction and then take it from there. We shall start off with the little note about. Thank you, sir.
Let's bring to allow them to introduce themselves.
But oh, yeah, sorry, sorry.
Give an information that the DG is not here. The DG tended written in the case, but the acting DG is also not here. And I'm representing the acting DG. The apology of the chief executive officer of the Federal Modern Organization.
So you are an assistant acting DG.
The apology of the CEO of the Bellawater, Mr. Lahori, I'm not sure whether he received it formally, but we have received it that he is unable to be here today because he is in a court process, the witness unrelated to the law of the Bellawater. And I'm happy to announce that the cabinet has approved the new board. So there will be a new board. We will share with the committee the names of the board members. The last sitting of the cabinet committee was the 17th of February, and then the new board has been appointed. We anticipate that the new board will commence with the duties from the 1st of April. So, my team is here from the department, and then I'll allow the colleagues from Lempele and from Amatola to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Awuhiwe Lechidaul from the President of the Water, General Manager. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Johan Killian from Lempele, Water Water, and the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Evan Govinsamy. I'm the CFO of Amatola Water.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Lefadi Makibinyane. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Amatola Water. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members, and my colleagues. My name is Nati Bali. I am the manager of the CE, Amatola Water.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Ndambo Kalamulu Mwamita. I'm the Chairperson of the Amatola Water.
Good morning, Chair, and honorable members. My name is Raymond Bukwana. I'm the Acting Director of Planning and Development at Amatola Water Board.
Good morning, my name is Shisha Pujimurati from DG Focus.
Morning, my name is Joy Zaha, I'm the CEO of Inland Ministry.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Tom Gordon Sush, I'm a Parliamentary Labour Officer in the Office of the Deputy Minister.
My name is Shala Sisa. As clearly you cannot see me, those behind this pillar that I can see. It's up to the motion. I'm sure it won't take much of any creativity on your part to sit yourself where you can be seen or where I can see you or where you can see me. Thank you, Shoki. Okay, I hand over to... I shall also have to mention that whilst anyone expects to come before Parliament is to do so, equally important is to tell nothing but the truth without having to raise any hope. It is assumed that you are speaking under oath by virtue of you coming before Parliament. I'm raising that issue because it is taken for granted on a number of occasions. At times we do go out of any of the sessions, and when having to reflect upon any such sessions, we found out that there was some element of economic aspect to the plea. So it's a plea, therefore, that it's not even supposed to be a plea. In fact, it's an obligation on your part. It's a pity that we haven't been able to make any follow-ups on some of those things, like those mishaps or those. Okay, thank you. Welcome, Mr. Gong. And Mrs. Mulepi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Once again, honorable members. My name is Johan Kilian. I'm the CFO. I will present the financials, a summary of our annual report as presented on the 30th of June 2015. So I'm happy to present this. We have slightly gross, nothing exorbitant happened during the financial year. We have growth of 9% in our primary activities and 8% on non-primary activities, you know, to the tune of 44.1 million and 97.3 million from the previous year of 398 million and 79 million respectively. Our employee benefits have increased by 9% from 149 million to 169 million. Our operating expenses have declined 6% from 304 million to 287 million. The fair value adjustments of 2 million and 3 million as stipulated there. Then our financing cost or financing income actually has decreased from 18 million to 11 million, and our depreciation and amortization increased from 26 to 28 million, 9% increase. So the bottom line, the PLA has performed at a net surplus of 69.4 million compared to the previous year of 17.7 million. So the main factor regarding this, just to give that information, is because of the gross impairment, provision for impairment for bad debts that we had to make during the previous financial year of 13-14, and it declined to the financial year 14-15. On our statement of our financial position, our cash and cash equivalent has declined. It's around about 100 million from 362 million to 277 million. But our receivables, outstanding debt has increased 198 and 233, and that was after provision for bad debt. Our inventory increased by 13% to 5.3 million. Then our property, plant and equipment, that's our CapEx expenditure, increased by 30% from 495 million to 559 million. Our tangible assets is approximately staying the same at 4 million, 3% increase there. So our total asset base increased from 1.06 billion to 1.08 billion. Our liabilities, our payables have decreased by 7%, 205 million to 248 million. And that's also one of the reasons of the decline in our cash and cash equivalent. A part of our payables is our employee benefits that we have provided for, the bonuses and leave, increased from 15 million to 17 million. And then other financial liabilities increased by 6% from 16 million to 17 million. Our total net assets increased from 258, 254 to 201 million. With our net asset value that increased from 826 million to 896 million. it's a growing financial position. And we are, as mentioned, we are satisfied with that. On our ratios, our liquidity is at 2.3. Our cash
cash flow from operations amount is 170 million. Our return on assets is 20%. Our debtor days, and that's one of our concerns, sit at 422 days. And this is mainly due to the non-payment of one of our major customers. Then our gross profit margin is 53%, debt to equity sit at 21%, and our net profit margin is 15%. So, apart from the outstanding debt days, all is on the profitable side. On our next slide, just a comparison of expenditure outcome. Our budget was 478 million. Our expenditure 485. We've overexpent by 6.2 million. And the main reason for that was the the well-known electricity factor increased out of our control, and then as well as our security services. As we are operating towns all over the province, we are experiencing more and more vandalism, and so we have to increase on our security. But what we have done there is to have a capital injection to security service and applications of cameras and things so we can address the over expenditure on security. On our list of financial statements, that is the normal statement also from our external auditors, so we have to comply to the South African Standards of General Accounting Practices, the Water Services Act. We comply to the Public Finance Management Act, and everything is in place. The analysis of our current payments is that our salary bill, compensation to employees, is sitting at 35% of our total expenditure bill. And then on unauthorized expenditure, nothing was reported for the past 2 years. On irregular expenditure, nothing was reported for the past 2 years. On fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there was no cent reported on wasteful expenditure for the past 2 years. And I think that the main reason is that we've implemented strict measures to assist us in that regard. Our commitment to capital expenditure, we are a bit under stress to spend on our capital expenditure, but we're sitting at the 70% commitment of the budget, but we have good things in place to improve on that. The next slide is just on our staff debt analysis. The only staff debt that we incur in the PLA is for study loans, bursary. And the way that we handle that is because of we first borrow the employee a loan, and after the result is coming out, we transfer it and send it to a bursary scheme. So that is why it seems that it's a bad time. The report on our accruals for the past 2 years, the previous year was sitting at 36.4 million. This current of the last financial year, 2015, it was sitting at 17.7 million, and the majority of that was because of our increase in capital expenditure. We've got a contingent assets where we have a service provider. It's owing us an amount of 3.5 million with interest and legal costs to the tune of 4.7 million, and the board and the organization is still of the opinion that we will meet the criteria and we will be paid back. On the overview of the audit report for the past 5 years, as mentioned there, it was an unqualified audit report for all the years. The only matter of interest that's appearing each and every year is the one outstanding, long outstanding debt collection of one of our biggest clients, Water Service Authority, and that is by the name of especially for municipalities. It's a long outstanding for the past 10 years, and that is every year is appearing as a matter of emphasis. Good. The trend analysis of our audit findings for the past couple of years, as you can see, from 2010 was from a high level, moves down to 2015 at the low level. It's a positive split. The number of findings, the summary of the number of findings in the for the specific years in the financial field, we come down from 17 findings to 6. Supply chain management, 22, that was the biggest 5 years back, 0 last year. The HR, governance, idea, and then in total, 16. So it's a downward trend, and we are planning to continue on this route. The next graph is just showing how it's coming down from where it was in 2011. On the next slide is just an explanation of our action plan to recover debt from this one client of us. Agreement was signed with him. National Treasury is involved. The Department of Water and Sanitation is involved. COXPA is involved. So all the departments is assisting the PLA with the action of recovering this outstanding, the long outstanding, it's big amount from the municipality, because we also want to let the municipality survive. So we have a plan in place today on a repayment schedule, and hopefully in the next 2-3 years we could have settled this outstanding amount. Good. Mr. Chair, this brings us to the end of the financials. Then the next part is the overview of our non-financial performance. As the shareholders compact, is just to show the analysis of how we achieve our strategic goals that we have set in the shareholders compact. The first strategic objective of infrastructure development optimization, we achieved the 3.1 compared to a plan 3.0 on financial viability, 4.1 compared to 3. The human capital management is strategic objective number 3 at 3.8 to 3. Effective corporate governance at 3.5 to 3. Strategic objective number 5, the positioning of the organization for institutional reform, is at 3.5 to 3. And then security of supply of water resources at 3.7 to 3. So overall for the organization, we scored a 3.6 compared to a target of 3. The next slide is just giving the analysis in the pie picture and a pie diagram of how it looks like, what we have achieved, partially achieved, or not achieved. And then the main two targets that we have achieved was our milestone on our tolerable organization residual risk that we haven't achieved in the previous year, and that's one of our first priorities for this year. And then is the installation of hydro generators to reduce our electricity cost. Wherever, as we have already mentioned, that is one of our main cost factors. So those are the two that we are still fighting. Okay, that brings me to the end of the financials. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And honorable members, there was also a request that the Building of Rain Water gives the update on Benin water supply challenges. So that's what I'm going to take the committee through in terms of the update so far. Firstly, I would like to acknowledge the report that was presented by DWS before the committee last year in November sometime, wherein they give a progress for what they've done in terms of the intervention. And the DWS appointed the labor promoter as the implementing agent. We are implementing the project at Wabanan and Kumbababan pipeline. We also are upgrading the Alela water scheme, and the other request also to talk to the extension of the reticulation to cover extensions in Tikilai. Over and above that, the balance of rainwater within Salim, in the ones that were mentioned, we also restore the water supply in Wamitoa village. Tikilai reticulation, we are not responsible. The municipality, which is the district of Mopani, is the one that is doing the project, and they are currently now in the advertising stage as we consulted with them on the progress. So in terms of the Wamanana pipeline, Nkomako pipeline that we are implementing, the scope of work was to upgrade the water treatment works from 12 to 24 megaliter and to repair and replace the damaged bulk water main, which are currently the AC pipes and the UPVC pipes, which are leaking. And it was noted by the members of the committee when DWS was presenting that the challenges of vandalism and illegal pollution still need to be addressed, and that was the cause for this pipeline to be at the state that it is now, hence we are upgrading or repairing the pipeline. We also repairing and servicing the pump station, also implementing the leak control system and the cost recovery. The progress to date for Kumbako, Wamanan power pipeline, the detailed design has been completed. The tender document is also completed. We are ready to go for advertisement to get a contractor on site. That means that the engineering services has been already procured, hence the completion of the tender document. The duration of the project is envisaged to be completed sometime in 2018. The villages that are going to benefit are 29. And then the population to be covered is almost 104,000. And then there is some recommendation that we will do to the department and also the municipality. But as the pipeline is finished, there should be a funding available for the regulation to regulate that part of the water that will be restored. In Ralela, the scope of work was also mainly to develop the source, testing and equipping of the boring, installing of additional storage facility, and linking both the new developed boreholes and the existing boreholes to the regulation. And this project, the contractor are already also on site. According to the program, the project will be finished by March, end of March 2015, that we have given the contractor to be able to close the project mid-March 2016. And the villages that are going to be beneficiaries are almost 37, which are clustered into one team, which is called Alela Water Treatment Water Scheme. And the population that we have calculated to be beneficiaries for this project is over 84,000. The challenge though, so far, as we implement the project, is that most of the project, because of the electricity supply to boreholes, we are supplying the diesel generator, and then there's the challenge of the diesel generator operation to be sustainable as we are waiting for Eskom to energize those boreholes. The main finding as we were doing this project was to restore the water supply in the area. We found that the non-functionality of the water infrastructure was due to dilapidated infrastructure and vandalism. Of course, we have noted illegal connection as we were restoring or repairing the pipelines and the ventilation within the village, which still needs to be dealt with. In one village, the scope of work was also to drill holes, and we managed to drill 29 holes, and then for those out of 29, 8 of them were not energized and they had to get diesel engine to our generators to run those boreholes. And there's still some complaints from the community where we are running those diesel generators because of the operation part of it, where sometimes the diesel will get finished and all those kind of things. But we are waiting for Eskom, which last week we got an indication that Eskom will be on site. The project is completed already last year, November, and people are already benefiting from this project. 20 villages were covered, and then Chairperson, I would like to pause there, and that will be the end of our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Members, that is a summary submission from the Triple Lender Water Board. At the time, I will take a few questions or comments. Can you take us? I see there this is the trend. I still need to be educated on this one. When you have to identify your stakeholders, you enlist them, and then later on, as we engage, it's a very minor issue, not major. It does not reflect all of that in your financial, nor does it reflect anything on your performance, whether financial or otherwise. I'm very new here. You've been in these things for quite some time. Why are you not including Parliament as you enlist your stakeholders? I'm just very curious about that. I'm aware that you're going to go as far as, you know, to instead of patronizing some of us. You are very important and so on. We hold you in high esteem and so on. I'm just curious as to, so that's just a very minor issue. You can also engage Mr. Singh on this one. It's not only you, but you are among many.
Mr. Chair, honestly, I think it's also something new for me. The first time I had this comment, but I will definitely look into it and I will comment coming back. But unless Mr. Singh can assist me.
We've had this important, you've raised this important issue in the past, and I think the approach has been that since Parliament is having oversight of all the work of the department and the entities, it's not seen as a stakeholder in that context of stakeholders that have to be consulted and engaged. And I think that we had said that we would change that approach, and that we would seek to engage the portfolio committee as representative of Parliament on all the matters that we do. For example, on the tariff, you recall last year we had a discussion, and you had said to us that we are coming to you as a rubber stamp, to rubber stamp the tariff. So we've done it differently this year in terms of the tariff to do a separate presentation. But in terms of the Water Board's presentations, one of the things that we've also agreed, although it's not in the legislation, is that the Water Boards would present their quarterly reports to yourselves, and then you would have a greater depth and ability to interrogate the annual report, having seen the performance over the four quarters. But as far as Parliament, it is a stakeholder, but the traditional approach has been that because it's an oversight committee, it's not necessarily truly consulted or engaged, but our approach is to change that going into the future. Thank you.
and you have received certain schemes, in Lebe and Mobano, which are those schemes that you have received? Mr. Singh, when we received reports with regards to Zanin, I thought you're also going to concentrate on the areas that we have received petition on. But when I received, I immediately understand that those are not the areas that we received petition from. And as far as it's concerned, it also means that there's no progress. Unless there's something that you want to say for us with regard to those areas that were petitioned on. Because the ones that are mentioned here are far away from those areas. Thanks, Chair.
Mr. President.
Just on the 311 million outstanding for more than 60 days, you indicated that Mopani is historically this amount outstanding. Could we get that amount, please? And then I need to get some clarity on Southern Palace 440, which you signed a contract on, selling water to them at a price of 7.658 cents per cubic meters. I just want to get a sense of what's going on with that contract, because in a reply from the minister, there's a little bit of a interdiction in what she says and what I've asked. So if you could maybe reply on whether they have started with the, you signed a 50-year contract with him, and it's agricultural water, they then sell this water again. But in one of my questions, the last question, it says the contract has not been implemented. So I just want to get clarity on that.
Mrs. Pandit.
One of my questions I'm covered by Honorable Mabondo in terms of blue and green drug issue. Before I want just to get information on, you know, we have a challenge of unemployment and issues of skills in the country. Just want to get just an information that how in terms of unemployment, how did you assist the country to reduce unemployment? And then how many youth have you employed in your area of work? Then what did you assist in terms of giving skills in the community, in the area that you are working in? And I've seen that you are struggling in terms of addressing the matter of emphasis in your report. What is the challenge that you have said for 10 years that you're struggling? What is the problem that you're struggling of not having plans to address that issue? Because it seems you may get clean audits, but it's only that matter that is giving you a challenge. What is the problem? You talked about the municipality that is giving you a challenge, but what are your strategies to deal with those matters? I remember in our area, our municipality was going to an and they restrict water to the community, to the municipality. They give them just little. By that issue, they keep their record clean because they know that communities will fight for why are they getting water while they are being restricted. So I just want to get your plan. How are you? Did you have any strategy to address that matter? Because 10 years is long. You have to have plans to deal with the challenge. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, members. Are you okay, Mr. Carter?
Fine.
Just speak to the mic.
What I have to cover here, Chair, is that the entity is operating without a board. I'm not sure whether Mr. Singh is going to assist us, because that kind of question should be posed to the minister, because I understand the minister is supposed to appoint the board. If I can get light on that one.
Oh, sorry.
Just before my colleagues come in.
Can I just want to pull from where I'm seated. When we went to Kiani, among others, we saw a wastewater plant, treating wastewater, until a certain point where water flows into a river stream. MEC was there and the district mayor was there. 82% of your water goes to farmers in the Limpopo area. Our interest at the time was that you then have water restricted, but that goes away. A partnership between the farmers and the municipality, especially that district area, called Mukwana, which in our view would really go a long way. I would mind this should be your grey water, and for farming activities, it's permissible to really make use of such. Now, we're talking about drought, we're talking about, you know, all sorts of mitigating factors against that drought. But here is a water that is treated. But we're not able to find ways of harvesting that water into irrigation schemes, if you like. If you can comment on that one. The second one, which is the last one, is my third question. About the cost of manufacturing of a typical water treatment plant and also a wastewater treatment plant. What does it cost, for argument's sake, for 20 megaliters of production of water to manufacture a plant that shall give you such outputs? What does it cost just that one plant, wastewater and also water treatment?
Before my colleagues from the Pella answer, the question of Honorable Mukonda regarding the petition, I'm informed by my colleague that the water boards were not directly involved in dealing with that matter. It was dealt with by the department, by our regional office. And then we have reports that we can be able to share with the committee. I'm made to understand that there is copies that we can be able to share with the committee now. Thank you.
Are you saying those are going to be the
Thank you, Mr. Jay. I think I've taken the opportunity to answer questions on the finance side. Just to come back to the Southern Palace side of it, we haven't implemented that contract yet. There is a process going on. We will respond back in writing to the committee if it is acceptable. And that is the current status. Good. On the next comment, the question regarding the long outstanding debt, and it is the only one district municipality that we are have this battle for. Now, this is coming from a very long time. Now, let me just keep up by saying the first
challenge that we always experience is that the district, that the municipality is a changing of executive management. Every 2-3 years, the same with council, that is what is maybe the one element that is a big challenge to us. Because this problem is running over for a very long period. Now, the major problem for the district municipality of Palabora, the district municipality is covering four local municipalities. That is the Great Talatawa, it is the Palabora local municipality, Tsanin local municipality, and Giani local municipality. Now, all districts.
Five.
Everyone?
Five.
And Marulay. Yes, my apologies for that. Now, the total amount of the debt outstanding is coming from the Palabora municipality. Now, that is the one local municipality. And that is a challenge that we have, is that municipality have a recovering system in place in the town of Palabora. They've got the industries there, they've got 2-3 mines there operating. So their income base is there, but the money is not flowing from the user to the district municipality. The district municipality of Kwanu City can only pay us on equitable share. And what they experience is that they use the equitable share to pay whatever they can afford, the rest they cannot afford. So we are sitting in this tripartite arrangement between the Palabora municipality, Kwanu district municipality, and Lepele. With all the other local municipalities in that district, we haven't got a problem. The paid up current, everything is in place. It's only from the one local municipality. Now what we are busy doing, we have engaged for a very long time, 1-2 years, with National Treasury is assisting us, who's also observing every month some payments from them to make sure that they pay us, because their last source that they can do is to direct the equitable share directly from the province municipality to the Lepele. But by doing that, there's a treasury also, but then they will put the municipality at all. Now, we are in constant communication with the municipality on a weekly basis, and we found different venues. The problem that we experience is that on the one hand, we implement Section 34 of the Water Service Act, we reduce the water to Palabora, to the local municipality. Because we are delivering the service to the local municipality, but it is the Water Service Authority, the district is supposed to pay us. And the district is not seeing the pain, so therefore nothing is happening, it's only the local that's happening. And then the moment that happens, then there's an outcry from the town. It's a very long town, so they cannot sit with our water, so that that source we have exhausted people many times. It actually is not working, because we are then at the end of the day, by implementing that source, you are penalizing the consumer who is actually doing the payment, but the corporates who receive the money did not do under the payment. But we went into an agreement with the Water Service Authority, which is Mopani, and they made the arrangement of paying us back the old outstanding debt by an amount of 15-16 million per month. That is what they can afford within their books. But now we are sitting with the current. So this is our next step, is now to engage. And I think Mopani himself is in that situation that they have to go back to local municipality, we must find other ways. But we need the assistance of other authorities, like the Department of Water Affairs, maybe Parliament, and then also National Treasury to assist us in this regard. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is regarding. And now, just by closing down on this issue of Mopani, the outstanding debt for them sitting that at 311 million, as indicated there, but the total debt is actually increasing. That was at the end of June last year. Today, their debt has increased. Because although they are paying the old outstanding debt, the amount of 14-15 million, as indicated, but they are not replacing the current account.
and that is putting this challenge to Mapele, to the organization, in our cash flow management, in our implementation of capital projects and everything, as you can imagine. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chairman. I will take the ones that were more operational and more financial. First question that was talking to water loss due to many tenants and the loss while in a treating water. According to the shareholder compact that was signed, we have given the allowance of 5% water loss for the plant and a 5% water loss for park. Currently, we are sitting at 4% loss at the water treatment plants. We are sitting at about 7% on bulk loss. Mainly, our bulk are still intact. There is no much of illegal connection, though this 7% is mostly contributed due to illegal connection on our bulk, which we are doing monitoring. And we got the leak detectors that we have installed, and we are able to react in time to be able to cap and try to minimize the water losses to be within or below 5%. In terms of water quality and the Blue Dot report, generally for Limpopo, indeed the Blue Dot does not look good. But for the plant that we are operating in the Netherlands and water, without going into details, for example, Zanim, where we are also contributing, it does have a Blue Drop accreditation. Bulukwane does have a Blue Drop accreditation. And then Bulukwane is actually running about two schemes that we are operating. We are loading results into the website of DWS under Waterbox, and the results within the president's operational area are to confirm that they do look good. We can provide that report specifically only for the president of rainwater area of operation. Generally, also the Blue Drop do have the outcome on how the quality of water in the government. What we are doing in the development to ensure that we maintain the correct water quality, we're doing optimization and trying to also install new technology to improve, because there is what is called water safety plan that we also do budget based on the risk that we have identified in the water safety plan. Some investments are actually for the long term, we have acknowledged that, but others, as informed by the water safety plan that we have developed, we are trying to correct in terms of the quality that we need to produce from that. We have fully fledged new department which is dealing with the research and development that we are now happy to have that department to be able to take us in all the challenges into the water quality issues. Our laboratory is now accredited. We have improved the monitoring within the schemes and also assisting the municipality on the reticulation side where we are also servicing the municipality. So the monitoring is no longer only once a week, as we are sourcing the analysis of the sample to the accredited laboratory. We are now doing it in-house. Our laboratory is accredited. On the question of the cost of electricity, we are strategically trying to reduce that cost by installing hydro generators in the dams that we are operating. Currently, we are busy installing at Telenesa Dam. We have done feasibility for Brentry and also Paraguay Barrage. Those are also going to be informed about how the hydro availability going forward. But the plan for Telenesa is already in place. We have tried to install solar panels in all our plants and also head office so that we can reduce the demand from the grid. And then the new plants or new scheme, Kizembe and Mopan, we are now operating in unknown. We are operating the scheme of Mandon, and we got a directive to also look at operating all the associated scheme to Mandon. Right now we are doing the due diligence to get into the understanding of the needs before we get into those other things. But Mandon was still falling under department, and we are able to be there already by now. Giani, we are operating Giani water treatment works because under the intervention of Mopan, we upgraded to Giani, and then as we upgraded Giani, we end up continuously operating in Giani before we hand over to Mopan. So as the process is going to unfold for Mopani to take over the operation, currently we are operating, hence it's in our financial statement because we are carrying costs there and we need to report on it. Areas in Salini specific, I think that was already talked to. The projects that are indicated, they were reported before for in the reports from business, that those projects are also assisting in addressing the challenges in Salini and those ones that were specifically identified. Hence, we have to, as a vendor, as a purpose, to talk to those projects that we are implementing the project today. In terms of unemployment, I think without speculating, because I can't remember exactly the figure, I will request that we submit a specific report on that in writing for all the projects that we are implementing, because we do have figures in numbers and numbers in terms of the employment that we are also contributing in the area. But for the project that I've already alluded to, if you can allow, or maybe I'll also include those on the in the report that we are going to submit with the employment opportunities that we are creating on all the projects that we are implementing and on behalf of BWF. And also the internal process that we are implementing with the family of the water. 82% of water going to the farmers. How can we make use of that grey water or treated water from the sewage so that can be used by the farmers? Those are areas that need to be explored, because even when you get a license for wastewater, there is an allowance for that water to be discharged into the water course. So you need to apply for a license to use that water, not to be discharged into the water course, but to be used for any other activity. That is very possible. It's easy to be able to get into that site with approval, I believe. But that is something that maybe the citizens can elaborate better. For the cost of water treatment works and wastewater treatment works, Jefferson, that depends on the technology that you apply and the quality that you are treating. So on the lecture, from the experience that we have so far, for the pilot plant, the cost is almost 2 billion per megalitre. And every person of Renwater, as you know, that we are operating in mostly rural areas where the cost recovery is actually a challenge. We opt mostly on parish plants because they are going to be cheaper. The conventional plants, which are concrete, they are almost more in cost. And then when we talk to the wastewater treatment plant as well, we're looking at around 5 million per megaliter. And the cost of reclamation, because we are trying to explore the option of reclaiming water from the effluents to be treated back to water, to the potable water. And we have done the quotation so far, and we are sitting with the quotation that the 10 megaliter, to reclaim 10 megaliter of wastewater effluent, we are sitting at around 50 million to get that water back to drinking water standard. But it will be cheaper for us to actually consider that it's going to be using billion of sent to the farmers for irrigation. But those are the things that chefs and we need to explore further and specifically come up with the solution and also be sharing the
Thank you, Chair. Just a few issues. And I'm happy that Mr. Nishitao is responsible for operations and maintenance. One, we have conducted oversight in Limbo. The issues that we're talking about are the issues that we've seen. But secondly, I am coming from that area. So when I ask specific questions, I need specific answers. Don't give guided answers. When I say on your report here, you are indicating that you have received three schemes from Mokwane and two from them. I need to understand those schemes. For example, you have responded on the scheme that we are operating in Mokwane. You're confusing it to a water treatment scheme. Why is it a waste? It's a water waste. I mean, that the chair is asking about that water that you are treating that goes back to the river. He went there. So when you ask questions, please respond to those specific questions. I need the two schemes that you have received in Mopane. You mentioned you have mentioned Guyana, which is yes, we have been there, we have seen it. We are aware that you have received Nandone, but which are the other two that you have received from them? Don't say associated schemes. We need specific schemes that you have received.
You want to very, very quickly. Whilst you are searching.
Makabe is falling under Bembe. Last we have this something, a picture that the water there is dead. So I don't know who is monitoring the plant. Is it the municipality or the building?
Maybe, Mr. Singh, the issue of cost of manufacturing of those plants, packaged or otherwise. Maybe it should be a matter that really needs some serious monitoring part of the department. Standardization, if you like, has to be very critical. The experience that we have is that, hence the question, your consultants are ripping us as government. Big time. Typically, you are informed that for you to engage in any project, a plant for instance, whether waste or otherwise, that consultant, you know, the fees there go between 10% to 20%, so I'm told. So if you are going to talk of a plant for 10 million, then it does not make much sense business-wise for that consultant. So the plant has to be, must actually be, in the hundreds of millions for that consultant to really make a killing. And who is suffering in the end is that taxpayer money. So that's the background generally to the question about cost. Just suppose with those package plants, this is your conventional plant that was made reference to. Yes, you did make a comment about package plant as well, which you yourself are indicating that Shima. Okay, sorry. I think you wanted to say something before?
No, Chairperson, no, I agree with you that this matter of the construction of the water treatment works and the wastewater treatment works has to be given priority by the department because of the lack of standardization. But we did give a report that the cost could vary between 4 million report that that would show how we can use local service providers to build, because there, a lot of the municipalities import this from the Nordic countries like Norway and all of that, because they are the leading people in leading countries in terms of the wastewater treatment works. So I think we'll give a report to yourself and the committee around the cost plus the technology, and look at what would be the most suitable option for us.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think to be specific in terms of the plant that we're prepared to, the plant in Mupan, when I indicated Giani water treatment works, that is because that is fairly very new. We just started to operate there within the financial year. The other two plants that CFO was referring to was Nkowakowa and Mujani in Mupan. So that makes sense. We are also operating the wastewater treatment works in Mupan. But the one that I was referring to, it was water treatment works in Giani, which is within Mupan as well. The one that the committee visited, which was the wastewater, is also part of the interventions that we are doing there, and we are also operating. And that is still operated by the contractor because it's not yet handed over to them. And then the one that is already handed over, the project completed, was Giani Water Treatment Well. In Mbembe, the two schemes referred to is Nandoni and Vongo. So it's a matter of how we interpret it between finance and operation. But Vongo, because it's also supplying Toyando, and Nandoni is also supplying Toyando, we operate them as a team, and now we are operating from Nandoni. But we are also in Vongo at some parts. So that's why I didn't mention Vongo as part of the plan that we are also taking over. The associated scheme, we still going to go into those after the due diligence. These are the ones that we were directed to go immediately, and we are there already. Thank you very much. Oh, in terms of Makado, Makado is receiving water from Albasi, where is the water treatment works there. That water treatment works is operated by Mbembe District Municipality. And the incident that happened, we are very much aware of it. Our Department of Risk and Quality Research and Development, wherein the laboratory is under, were also involved to go and do research there. We also did the analysis for them, and we have reported back to them in terms of water quality issues in Macau. So we assisted in the incident that happened as well. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe just one last one. What is your policy about appointment of the auditor?
Mr. Chair, we always have to go back to the Auditor General to get an agreement or instruction from them. Must we go out intended by ourselves, or is it from the Auditor General himself? And we'll have instructions. That's what happens currently. We're going out on the normal tendering process, and we invite proposals, and then we appoint an external auditor, and then we report back to the Auditor General to confirm that we follow the right procedure, and that they are acquainted with the auditor that is appointed.
Annual, biannual?
Every 3 years, on a 3-year basis, appointing the auditors on an annual basis, on a 3-year term, and renewal every year. After audit completed, you appoint for the next year. It's on a 3-year basis.
Thank you. That should be for the panel. Ethan? That took us almost an hour, 20 minutes. Can we do better?
Chairperson, thanks very much. I think we will do better with the time for Amatola. I just want to say that the new board has commenced work on the duties from the 1st of February. We attended the induction and the orientation. The minister and the department is quite pleased with the appointment of the new board under the leadership of Ms. Mbeta. And we would like to have the board engage with the committee on all the service delivery issues in Eastern Cape, because I think it would be important that the board members will play a role in assisting you in the exercise of the oversight function. But we are quite pleased that the new board is a very good board, and being capably led by the chairperson, will be able to take Amatola in towards an upward trajectory in achieving its course. Chairperson, thank you.
It would be prudent if you were to come through so that we don't have to look for you. Thank you. What also has become abundantly clear is that as we engage with the Lepelle, so that you don't talk general or generic, because it has become quite clear with Lepelle. Among ourselves, you certainly do have those that come from those areas, so that we don't wish things away.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members, for the opportunity to present the annual report. As the SUDG has alluded, we have been inducted as the new board, and the annual report presentation will be led by the CEO. And we've agreed that he is going to be precise and provide the necessary information that will enable the committee to play the oversight. And we, as the board, we are looking forward to work very closely with the portfolio committee to ensure that we take another water to the next level. Over to you, Sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair of the Portfolio Committee, and the Chair of Amatola Water, honorable members. Let's proceed. The annual report for the 2014-15 financial year, the contents, part one, overview of the financial performance, part two, overview of the non-financial performance. And we'll look at the program expenditure trends. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Chair, I just wanted to understand as to who is the chairperson and so on and so forth, so that we know, you know, but it was not introduced in terms of saying this is the chairperson and so on and so forth.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Our chairperson is Ndombiwe Kala. Right. Thank you very much. And we've got about 8 other board members. Thank you. Let's continue. Program expenditure trends, the notes to the financial statements, and overview of the audit reports. So we'll
begin. Can you
before you came through, the introduction was done.
Oh.
Apologies for him that day. On time, sorry. Apologies for us for being on time. We were at 4 minutes, sorry.
Late.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chair. Let's continue. You will have the comprehensive annual report, and then we're just looking at the highlights or the basis of the presentation. Look at the financial performance. The revenue for Angela Water compared to last year, we are sitting at 338,901,000. The revenue from sections 29, which is the core business, it jumped from 236 to 261. And the revenue from section 30, which is the secondary business, from 92 to 73. So it actually took a 20% decline, and basically purely on the basis of the key contracts that we lost through ADM and Cliff Valley District Municipality. And other income, down by 8%. The expenditure, the cost of sales, we are up, to 236. Operating and administrative expenses have gone up as well, and the interest income dropped by 52%, and the finance cost down by 19%. So the surplus of for the organization is really a break-even position. The consolidated results, it's just a depiction of what we have highlighted in the previous, the page or slide, and it just shows the bar chart. Going further, can we look at our non-current assets? We are sitting from 285 to 351, so there is a 20% increase, and our current assets, inventories gone up 8%, trade and other receivables up 21%, cash and cash equivalents down by 3%. And we are looking at our total assets sitting at 789, so we are still shy of the previous presenters here, which is sitting over 1.9. We continue on the equity and liabilities, the capital contributions. We are just the same as last year. The accumulated surplus, not improvements, and then the total equity and reserves, we are almost the same as the previous year. And the non-current liabilities, we are sitting there on interest-bearing loans, around 31%, and the total non-current assets about 31% down. Staying the same. And the current liabilities as well, we're looking at up 41% trade and other payables, and the current portion of the interest bearing loans sitting down 94%. We actually don't have much of the loans check. Thank you. On the ratios, we look at our liquidities. Our liquidities, the current ratio sitting almost 1:1, really just showing that we can cover our costs just on the pound to pound basis. Cash flow from operations, the cash and cash equivalents at the end of the year amounted to 103 million compared to 124 of the previous year. And the return on assets, the ratio on return on assets, breaking even point, just indicated that illustrates the entity's inability to effectively utilize its investment in assets. We don't have much investment. We have raised the capex through RBIC to actually augment our infrastructure. Debtor days in sales, during the period under review, the debtor days analysis reflected a regression from 289 in 2014 to 345 in 2015. This is due to challenges in collecting debt owed by Water Services Authorities, where Amateur Water is an implementing agent. Other ratios applicable, debt to equity ratio of 0 to 1, and working ratio of about 1. Expenditure outcome,
you look at our primary business and you make a comparative period there, you look at our budget as compared to the actual, and we have overshot our budgets by about 7%. And then we, secondary business, we have underspent, and under support services, we have once again underspent by 23%. Consolidated expenditure per program, Chair, we looked at our primary business, that is looking at a variance of about minus 7. You know, if you look at the actual compared to the budget, 217 to 232 million. Secondary business has gone down by 6% from 61 million to 52 million, and the support services have again underspent by 23. So this is composition of the major cost drivers. Where are the actual costs? We looked at the 39% is employee cost of the organization, because we're still in the very much of the formation level, where we need warm bodies to actually capacitate ourselves so that this economy of scale can be realized. And then we look at our overhead sitting at about 17%, and our water allocated is another component, about 19%, and the chemicals, 4%, energy cost, 10%, depreciation, and the repair of maintenance taking the lead. The detailed expenditure trends the business unit, primary business, section 39, activities which are core business. Against the presentation of that, so we are looking at the water bulk purchases being the highest, followed by the employee cost, and then energy cost, then overhead. Section 39 business, financial performance, the primary business, Amakhala Water sold less water in the year under review compared to last year reviewed. Right of use volume sold at Makana, where we are operating as their water treatment works, increased sharply by 43%. But this is really comparative to the previous year where we were only in the contract. So, you know, the momentum picked up, and that is why you see that high jump. The adverse performance worsens due to some of the utility non-viable water treatment works, which under recovering on cost due to the volumes of water produced. Amakhala Water also strongly recommended the review of the raw water pricing strategy and the need for the amendment of the raw water pricing, especially in rural areas such as the Eastern Cape, which are to some degree COVID-restricted. We need to not really touch the tariff that is cost effective because of the socio-economic challenges in the area. And that we get squeezed because our bulk water is always very expensive when we buy the raw water. We cannot really recover all the costs. Secondary business, when you look at this, these are the implementing agent activities and for the right of use, plus that we are running on behalf of municipalities. And in this particular case, we are referring to Ndlambe, we are referring to Makana. So again, you look at employee costs, quite a high component, followed by repairs and maintenance, and the least being the energy cost. The financial performance on the secondary businesses, the level of engagement in secondary business activities has declined since the termination of the operation and maintenance contracts with Amatoa District Municipality and the Jolabi District Municipality, with the final handover of all funds as per transfer agreements. So we used operators on behalf of the municipalities, and that came to an end, and we have to reduce our business. Amakhala Water has made significant strides in this project implementing agent work, with the majority of the work comprising of the Kinsabat Zalimabu Presidential Intervention. We're implementing mega projects there on the infrastructure side for ORCDR. The administration, again, we look at really the support, and we look at the cost, employee cost, extremely high, and the overheads followed by depreciation, and the lead being the finance costs, because we don't owe any desk as Amatol. Amatol are going to support and administrative costs contribute negatively to the achievement of targeted surpluses and equal performance ratios despite numerous cost containment measures implemented. It all depends where you are on the life cycle of growth, chairperson. And that's something we are in at the beginning of, you know, the growth trajectory. And we hope that the institutional realignment reform will assist us in accelerating our growth. Fixed labor costs are the main driver of these costs, generally noted to be excessively high, and management strategies have been developed to curb these costs through the rationalizing of discretionary benefits or allowance policies. In the year ahead, active monitoring of this cost will be improved by taking systems that enhance control environments. Note to the financial statements, the basis of preparation. We prepared our financial statements on the historical cost basis, unless stated otherwise, and incorporate the following principles of accounting policies, which conform to the South African statement of generally accepted accounting practice. SLGAP, or the Finance and the Finance Public Finance Management Act, PFMA, as amended, and the Water Services Act, this principal accounting policies are consistent with the previous year. Functional currency is the rent, as we are locally currency denominated, and the capital contribution comprises of inventory and property, plant and equipment that are transferred from the Department of Water and Sanitation. During the enactment of the organization. Analysis of expenditure by program. Again, we are showing there, you know, the 69% primary business and secondary business, you know, 16% and the support 15%. Analysis of current payments. Compensation of the employees, 124 million. Which is 34% of the total cost, and the goods and services, 259 million. Unauthorized expenditure, Amatol Water did not incur any unauthorized expenditure during 2014 and 15, and that is why we see the unqualified audits with no matters of emphasis. When coming to regular expenditure, we have the procurement policy not adhered to in awarding of bids. And when we talk about the regular expenditure, you will know that better, Chair and the members, that it doesn't necessarily mean that the work was not done. So the work was done, but so certain you know, principles of procurement were not fully followed. And the major part of this, it was where the subcontractor, where we were classified as a contract, as an implementing agent, and the work was subcontracted. Overspending on the expired contracts, that it shows again the regular expenditure relates to historical contracts that have not been renewed by Amatol Water Board that are paid via the debit order facility in place with Standard Bank. And you know, the reasons are given clearly for those particular irregularities, and we are putting measures in place to actually curb that and you know. You know, avoid the repeat of those errors. Fruitless and little expenditure, the open balance, it's just giving the full scale of the fruitful, fruitless and little expenditure, which is amounting to about, 11 million, or 1.1 million. Sorry. Reduction of fruitless and little expenditure. Once again, interest on late payments of invoices. We are very much sometimes like the middleman, Chair, where we are implementing and we still have to, actually even after the invoices have been presented to ourselves, we have to go to the department and present further, you know, invoices for them for verification. And sometimes it takes longer than the normal 30 days that is legislated to pay our service providers. And we are trying by all means, we are advancing some strategies on how we can get pre-funded for some of this work so that payments can be much more timely. Overpayments to SARS, so this relates to the previous interim CEO who you know, acted very much like a contractor and not like an employee. So this has raised some issues, you know, but this is being addressed at this point in time. Payments on council's contracts. a number of contracts that were cancelled, but the payments were still going on, but the recoveries have been really done. Prior year fruitless and wasteful expenditure gain, Chair, just showing that. The commitment analysis, infrastructure commitments, and infrastructure commitments authorized but not contracted for. So these are the commitment analysis that shows the comparative periods, and it shows that you know, there's been a little bit of an increase over the previous years. Staff debt analysis, some of the staff debt combined are very negligible or insignificant. Staff debt are merely arising from sale of Amatola corporate merchandise or disposal of property, plant and equipment. The staff debt are recovered on a monthly basis on a repayment plan. And provisions that are made simply for litigation matters, you know, it amounts to about 1 million. So. Contingent liabilities and assets, that is just relating to all litigious matters. Overview of the audit report. Chair, as we said, you know, the audit opinion is, you know, is unqualified for 2014-15, and we just show the trend where Amatola came from. In 2010-11, it was a qualified report, so I think we've maintained consistently over the last 4 years an unqualified position. Trend analysis, matters relating to the audit report, once again, just you know, showing the number of findings and how we are dealing with the reducing of those you know, findings. And the table here, it just shows the different you know, business units within Amatola that are the cause of the non-conformances. And we see that, you know, the major part comes from the finance, where about 33, and there's been a reduction compared to last year. And followed by supply chain, which has really picked up compared to the previous year. There's been quite a thorough audit that was done, and which resulted into the cost overruns. But we had to really get to the bottom of things so that, you know, we had cleaned the slate and start, you know, improving the performance of the organization. Comparative analysis, again, just showing the findings by category. Just the previous presentation presented in a different way. And the action plan, Peterson, you know, major findings that were, you know, we're just picking up major findings on our annual report. Effective leadership culture. What has been the root causes of the audit finding? You know, staff were not trained properly to implement the policies, internal and external audit findings, not adequately addressed, resulting in repeat findings. So we have the accumulation of quite a lot of findings that were not having you know, proper attention. And we have done quite a lot as the management, you know, and board to provide an effective leadership which is based on culture of honesty, integrity, accountability, and responsibility with emphasis on ethical business practices and good governance. So the oversight responsibility, again, the board and management will exercise oversight responsibility regarding financial and corporate performance reporting compliance as well as related internal controls. And there were issues of the human resources as well that were found to be wanting, and the management will implement effective human resources management to ensure that adequate and sufficiently skilled resources are in place and performance is monitored. We are aware that, you know, Amatola had, you know, a very long span of time without a permanent chief executive officer. It took a while, actually, to fill the position of the CFO as well, which was filled in July last year, after the end of, this, of the financial year that we are reviewing. The financial and performance management, you know, once again, you know, how the proper record keeping, delays in receiving information, you know, some of the things that were just found by audit, and the management's responses towards that, and how we will improve going forward. Overview of the non-financial performance. I think the analysis, achievement of the strategic orientated goals, we're looking at that. This is very much on the basis of our performance forecast. The targets that were achieved, 69% against the target of 75%, and not achieved. We are talking about 28, and about 3% with the information and or evidence not really provided. And this is an analysis of the annual performance again, key parameters which is customer and stakeholder, financial, internal processes, learning and growth. And we are looking again, we realize that the major part really come from the internal processes, followed by financial, and then customer coming third. And the explanatory notes are given fully on the issues. We have the percentage of compliance with supplier open tender contractual commitments, really purely on the basis of how long it does it take to pay our contractors or our service providers. Taking more than usual share, and we're working very hard on that. The liquidity ratios, and once again, we are looking at the current ratios which are not favorable at the end of the period. And the target has not been achieved due to slow collection of debtors and significant reduction in cash funds. And the debtor days, once again, we show that the debtor days are others, and management is actively engaging with stakeholders in resolving these issues, because we believe that proper relationships can actually enhance the municipalities to come to the party and ensure that we are running a business, and therefore we need to be paid for whatever we have delivered to them. Employee to revenue, once again, it still shows that when we look at that, we are not really there where many other whatever are. Because we are still at this growth path, we are having very limited revenue opportunities because we don't have a lot of clientele. I mean, our key customers is the BCM and the Amateur District Municipality, and where we are doing the run of right of use at Makan and Rambe. We would like to actually anchor and stretch our service provision much wider in the Eastern Cape, and we have the strategy towards achieving that. Once again, here the gross profit margin. These are all negative. Profit margin targets have not been achieved. To the reduction in raw water sold, while treated water sold has been maintained by a tariff increase. And the electricity usage per kilometer is adverse due to the increase in the tariff charged by Eskom. We are cognizant of really measures that needs to be done to try to augment some of the systems that use more renewable energy approach into our systems. Revenue in rents, revenue achieved is below target due to the reduction in raw water sold and secondary revenue that has not been realized as planned for the year under review. Surplus events, we just broke even. Amount of targeted surplus placed in reserve funds in millions of rents. Management does not have a target amount to put into the reserve since the outcome is of deficit nature. And the labor cost to total cost, very high compared to any other water costs. Annual grant allocation spent on plant updates. The project commenced in 2014 with the appointment of professional service providers and award of various contracts from the first to the fourth quarter. So we have picked up and we are starting to actually spend and accelerate those upgrades. We've got about 6 months that we are busy upgrading at this point in time. Effective internal controls and risk management, once again, these are the, we show the corrective measures on all these things that we recorded adversely. And we end with the definitions of all our key nodes or abbreviations, and with that, I will table this to the committee and spend more time at least on answering questions. Thank you. No additional information. Yeah. Thank you.
Members, that gives us proof on Amatola Water. You've got Amatole and you've got Amadona. he gave mix that all the time. Amatola, what is Amatola? Amatola is district municipality. Amatola, what about it? Or is it meant to be the same thing?
No, Chair, I don't think that it was meant to be the same thing. Probably because Amatola water exists within Amatola region. And, you know, in the past, I think when we were naming things, we dropped something. We used to call them Tata and I call them Tata. So I think it was just a matter of, it was meant to probably mean the same, but they thought that the differentiation was appropriate in the sense that we're talking about the National Water Board and not a Section 51 company that belongs to the municipality. Because if it was, below Amatola, it would have been called Amatola Water, and it would have been not, a classified company that it is.
No, it's just being curious. Remember, we have to help Mr. Makondo out. He did apologize in time that he would truly wish to leave earlier because of his quarantine. He's quarantined to his residential area. Mr. Bosco, so you had.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on both of your presentations, I'm concerned that the debt is growing. I've got an experience of last year with one municipality, Mbeng, where the equitable share was used by Eskom as well as Magaliesberg Water, Tshwane. Now, the equitable share is a fund for free basic services. But it also stipulates that in any case these allocations are all unconditional and can therefore be spent at the municipality's discretion. Now there is in the National Treasury Act, it stipulates that if the municipality does not pay service providers within 30 days, that money can be kept back. And that's what happened last year, and now this year we are requesting exactly the same with Mbeng. Now, my question is, why are you struggling to get your money? I would put claim in, because I think it's for us to succeed, our water boards to succeed, they must be financially sound. And if the municipalities are not paying you, but they see the equitable share and they can use it for whatever they want to use it, but they're not paying you, then I think that would be the correct tool to make sure that you get your money. The balance of the money could go to the municipality. But let's make sure that our bulk service suppliers are paid first. I don't talk about the smaller accounts. I'm talking about the water boards, Eskom, and Department of Water and Sanitation for Raw Water, that we make sure that we don't give government money that's been owed to another entity, give the equitable share to a municipality which they can spend on vehicles or whatever they think they need to spend it on, but not paying the accounts. And eventually, you charge them interest. And that services are becoming much more expensive for the end user. And the only way you can curb this is by making sure that they don't owe our bulk service suppliers like the water boards money before they receive their equitable share. And I would like to hear your view on that and as well as the department's view on that, because I know Proctor's got an issue about that. But eventually we must make sure that we don't give money, a grant from the government to a municipality while they owe other governmental entities money. So I would hear what is your response on that. Thank you, Chair.
Any other questions? Comments? None so far? There's some of 5 million rands that has been touted.
on one hand, whether the letter shouldn't or wouldn't have been settled out of court, or is this part of your own insistence that it must take due process, the courts must prevail, and what could be the court implications of such? I see you have budgeted for 5 million rand. What if it goes beyond that? Is this a calculated risk in your view? There are some areas here that that have been reported. Just trying to find them somewhere. It's as far as I'm concerned that reflect negligence on the part of the board. This is now slide 22. Typically in government departments, when any mishap or any transgression is committed, it gets mentioned, you know, in passing, you know, as if nothing has happened. A significant portion of the regular expenditure was identified during the audit process and investigation of the causes is underway. And then you go to the next paragraph. Without giving much of this life here, because I'm here so that pondering in my own little mind, what could the details involve here? And then I'm also concerned that 827 thousand regular expenditure related to historical contracts that have not been reviewed, renewed by the board. And I'm asking myself, who are responsible for this? And what records would there have been? Again, it is just one other sentence, you know, that goes by. As if, you know, it's a normal thing, you know, it just happens. Irregular expenditure relates to the residual contracts of fleet management and transgression and transaction. And this contract will continue to be regular until new contracts have been entered into through some procuring. And then I ask myself as to who is involved here and what recourse. There is somewhere, this is the same thing, 827. Again, who gets responsible for those contracts? I would imagine here you should have systems in place. When a contract shall have its term lapsed, there should be some systems in place that give you an indication that this contract is lapsed. What next? And then for us, we are getting, you know, word that says, you know, debit order facility, you know, simply just one off. Now, it should be a matter that says Standard Bank must have paid back. What about those responsible within your system? I don't even know who they are. But for me, it's a matter of principle. Here is state money. Here is taxpayer money. Somebody simply just said, no, it was an oversight, you know. Yeah, I forgot, you know. If you can comment on that.
No, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I will start with Mr. Masson's comments. I think there were more of comments than there are very valid comments, Mr. Masson, and so we are doing everything in our power to actually follow whatever route, you know, if their persuasion really fails, we do write to the National Treasury, you know, to report you know, the culprits, you know, municipality. So we are there, and we have had some engagement with Treasury as well, trying to, you know, trigger a similar type of approach to what happened with ESCOM. So we are doing our best, because we cannot remain sustainable with money owed to us. It's very key, and we take that comment very positively. You know, Chair, on those issues of you know, irregularities. We, as I mentioned, for instance, on the first one, the procurement policy note has to in awarding of bids. Amatola come from a little bit of very difficult situation. I mean, I joined Amatola probably even when you looked at this annual report, it was almost toward the end of the that financial year, 4 months before the end of the financial year when I joined. And I had picked up that, you know, even the supply chain management unit was non-existent in the organization. You know, we are building capacity from a very low base. There's been a lot of really, really regular things that were happening. And we did take a charge and corrective action. You know, as I talk to you now, I mean, the point is, you know, employees were involved with the type of irregularities that happened under their watch are no more with us. So we have really took a swift action within the organization to ensure that we strengthen, you know, the internal controls and systems. And it goes with all this. You know, if you don't have a very alert, you know, supply chain management in an organization, these things become very, you know, prevalent. Looking at the second one, let's look at the second one on the fleet. The other one. Yeah. On the fleet, Chair, you know, we have, you know, explored. We are actually exploring now a mechanism of trying to find, you know, a company that will actually provide that service, because our fleet has aged as well. It's actually becoming, you know, a safety hazard to our employees. But we have taken a corrective action. I think there's a deadline to, you know, to appoint, you know, the new service provider, you know, before the end of this financial year on this one. So we are on a month-to-month, you know, arrangement at this point in time until we have done a startup, because we were actually beginning a repeat of the approach that we must deploy here, whether ownership of it is rather than lease. And we know that there are some institutions of government, like, you know, the city of Swan, who has done a very thorough study prior to implementing the fleet management strategy, and appointed, you know, our supply chain manager. So they are doing some benchmarks to try to find what is basically ideal for Amatola situation. So we are taking corrective action as far as that is concerned. Unfortunately, we cannot do without, you know, feet at this point in time because of our nature of our business. So you find that, you know, you find yourself in that particular. So it's really lack of planning. As you rightfully say, I mean, if you know that the contracts are going to expire, you know, you have to be proactive ahead of that, taking cognizance of the tendering processes, the turnaround of actually appointing a service provider. You have to start the process, you know. And that brings us was really sadly done. But we can say with certainty that, you know, the countries that initiated this are unfortunately done more with us. The issue of, you know, Chair, of the 5 million, is actually a student who was, you know, well, let me just give it to, you know, to my CEO. To answer fully, because I was of the same opinion as some stage. I said, guys, if we know that, you know, this is the quantum and this is the demand, why? But if you know, you know, unfortunately, when you are in guard of the public press, you must allow the due process to take its course, because then the determination of the court will determine the quantum, and whatever that quantum is, we will go along with that. But we know that we have made a provision of about 5 million as far as that is concerned. So it was a student who visited our plants and, you know, for whatever reason, you know, put her finger on our rotating, you know, machinery that, you know, severed her finger. I think Mr. Bukubani here, who is our director, planning and, you know, development, has some more details on the thing, which it did happen.
Okay, as you remember, it was 2009. The student visited our plant in Patawele. That plant was, we were operating that plant on behalf of ADA. So, this was a student from the Waterloo University. She sat on the clarifier and she put a finger, and the finger was squashed by the clarifier. So the matter was taken to court, and it was very difficult even for the investigators to find out how it could happen, because the clarifier, it took quite a very slow machine, moving machine. It's less than a minute to cover even a quarter of a distance. So she, it's still, that is why it's still in court. It's quite very complicated. So the indication was that she is the artists are going to claim $5 million. So that is why there is that $5 million that was put as a liability. Thank you.
Are you satisfied, Chair? Thanks. Okay. I hear all the time, let me say all the time, on two presentations. So then I can hear, is this the norm wherein you have a staff loan? Is this one of the policies that is there a way that you can really find some ways of, you know, standardizing things like those? Whether it's there needs to be any progression, you know, the department has to take care of that. I know for a fact that they've got serious problems. You are part of the water family, which department. My main worry is that there's so many of these water boards, and if there is to be any such practices, you know, how do you manage and how do you coordinate? At the end, you certainly, I hear what the defendant is saying, you know, upon concluding of any of your studies, you know, it gets converted into a salary. This is a system that easily can be abused, I must say. And it has happened in a number of institutions. Why have it? Okay. This response to that, Chairman. The organization had a policy for staff for study and also for tool allowance for the people that work in the plant. And you could have a Sunday sale. Amatola Water does not have a problem in a country of debt. So we do have deficits, but they have gain, and there's no problem as far as deficit is concerned. And this, incidentally, our business days have been high as at June 2015. It was reported as 345 days. We subsequently reduced that list to 80 days. So, you know, to the question that was posed earlier on, we have made significant progress as far as that is concerned.
Sorry. I was saying that in regard to the contingent liability, it is probably prudent to try to look to settle the court case in terms of the parties agreeing if there was negligence on the part of the organization, or there was negligence on the part of the child. It's an apportionment of liability kind of thing. So, but to have the thing go back and forth of wait for the outcome of the courts, it may be prudent to try to reach an amicable settlement and put the matter to bed. In yesterday's presentation, also the entity Landwater had the issue of contingent liabilities on the fact that they had legal advice that their case was very good, but you can never predict that their case would be good or bad. It depends on the facts and the court might rule against them, but it becomes important for the department to give direction on how the contingent liability needs to be managed, and to have it in the books year in and year out
because a court case could take 5 years or 3 years or whatever, maybe just not a prudent and desirable step. Thank you.
If I was just to comment very briefly on the last issue here, about, I hear what the CEO is saying about an hour of such transgression. You know, it's good that the culprits are no longer with, you know, but if that is enough, when you do any wrong, you've got to be able to account for the wrong. And I'm reading here something, it's a note, it has become a norm that such discrepancies happen from time to time. Especially having to have gone through any irregular expedition. But yeah, people who have done wrong, they are now born. And so how they left is something else. We're dealing with public money, and there must be accountability. Now, you're going to find yourself in a situation where you are to say, okay, so maybe I'm satisfying yourself. They're gone. Now you're dealing with the mess that has been left by those that are gone. What is the norm there? They are gone, the mess remains with you. It's got nothing to do with those that have transgressed or have wronged. How does it work?
If it was to be proven, a case of fraud or something like that, you know, we'll open up a criminal case and we'll pursue. But in this particular case, it's just relegation of duty, of not following the processes. So what was that? Service was delivered. Just a finding on the basis of not adherence to best practice and to the policies of the organization. So, so that is really the balance of probability. Not much, and the only thing is to discipline such, and if they have to take a hike, then you know, because you want to eliminate and rid yourself of people who don't follow policies, who are governor policies. You can't come and impose your individual, unethical and ill-disciplined behavior within the organization. We are guided by those policies that are drawn and by the board and supported and implemented by management. So, so that is how I would say. But if it was fraud and it could be proven to be fraudulent, then we will not give it, until we have fully recovered our money. Thank you.
Okay. Members, okay.
Before closing, I want to ask the department, because they are the ones who are giving licenses for water service authorities. How often are they monitoring that those people are doing their good work? Like, give you an example on the issue of Makat. After seeing this incident, are they going to monitor there and check if they are qualified for giving people water? And what is happening? Because they are the ones who are giving the licenses.
Chairperson, thank you very much. The question also arose in a previous committee sitting. The water licenses or water use licenses are granted based on the number of criteria that is applied and the amount of water that is available in the catchment. What you call reserve. So the compliance monitoring team takes as a basis the blue drop and the green drop reports, which is a snapshot of how they performed in terms of potable water and in terms of wastewater. So the compliance monitoring unit does monitor the compliance with the compliance with the SANS standard. The real challenge we had, which was raised on Wednesday, is the process controllers and the other technical staff. For one, there's a shortage of them, and the second aspect is that their training needs to be improved. So we are working with RISA to ensure that their training is improved, but we have committed to give this committee a full report on this aspect. But the team does monitor, our compliance monitoring team does monitor the municipalities like they do inspection, for example, on mines, whether the mines are complying with the water use license condition. And the challenge of the local government is the lack of capacity. You will find lots of cases where the people who are manning this particular plant are not qualified or not trained, or they were doing some level of job and then they were elevated to do this. So I think we will come back with a comprehensive report on the issue of the capacity. But as far as the license is concerned, they are monitored. If there is non-compliance, then directives are issued to make sure that there is compliance. But the local government, we work very closely to support them. A lot of these local municipalities and district municipalities do not really have the technical capacity. Thank you.
Okay. That should be it. And thanks for having been with us, seeing the two entities, and then those members that made it. The PC on Friday is Friday, just be Friday. And thanks for all of the others that have joined us to work at it too. The meeting is adjourned. So we meet on Wednesday. Thank you.